WKJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 9 o'clock, it's cloudy and 20 degrees in Atlantic. We look for periods of snow and blowing snow today, with daytime accumulations around 4 inches, a total of anywhere from 6 to 9 inches in the listening area. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by First Whitney Bank and Trust, a home-owned, home-operated bank at 3rd and Chestnut and 7th and Chestnut in Atlantic. Officials of the Adair-Guthrie County Emergency Management Agency say that a boil advisory remains in effect for the city of Stewart until further notice. Emergency Management Director Bob Kemp said the advisory was issued last night after a 10-inch water main ruptured below East Front Street in Stewart between Sherman and Harlan Streets. The Stewart utilities were able to repair the main, but Kemp says because contaminants may have worked their way into the water supply during the break, residents and persons who get their water from the city of Stewart are urged to boil all water before its consumption. You should let it boil for 1 minute before letting it cool or use bottled water, and that is until further notice. In addition, some areas of the community may not have water due to the pressure loss. If you have any questions, you can call Bob Kemp at 515-523-2915. More news right after this.
We're the only bank you'll ever need. First Whitney Bank.
Let's face it, buying a home or even considering whether to refinance your current home can be a complicated and overwhelming experience. Fortunately, we can help. Hi, this is Chip at First Whitney Bank in Atlantic. When you discover your next home or are interested in refinancing your current home, give First Whitney Bank a call. With interest rates at historic lows, it is the perfect time to act. Let our experienced lenders guide you into the mortgage that will best suit your financial needs, as well as explain how refinancing could save you money. Owning your own home is one of the smartest investment decisions you will ever make. So is choosing First Whitney Bank for all your banking needs. Local bankers making local decisions. First Whitney Bank in Atlantic, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
A bunch of Iowa is under a winter storm warning, and by this afternoon, much of the state will also be under as much as a half a foot of snow, with some areas expecting more. National Weather Service meteorologist Miles Schumacher says the storm will arrive in southwest Iowa later this morning. Schumacher's estimate for the snowfall in inches?
6 to 9, pretty common across the state. A little bit less in the far northwest corner, maybe 3 or 4 inches up in the far northwest, but 6 to 9 in most places.
The Iowa DOT has issued a travel advisory as strong winds may whip up the snow and cause whiteout conditions with deep drifts. At the peak of the storm this afternoon, snow may fall at the rate of 2 inches per hour. Schumacher says that a second storm system is also developing.
Yeah, we're watching another one, and that could bring another significant round of snow to the state, either Monday or Tuesday as it comes through. It has quite a bit of similarities to this one. On the plus side, we definitely need the moisture, so good that we're getting at least something.
Forecasters say today's snow will start in southwest Iowa a bit later this morning, and it should reach central Iowa by midday and eastern Iowa later this afternoon. While a major winter storm is expected to clobber Iowa today, a sure sign of spring is already here. The migrating sandhill cranes are beginning to appear at the DeSoto National Wildlife Refuge in Missouri, in the Missouri River Valley, straddling the Iowa-Nebraska border. Greg Wagner, a spokesman for the Nebraska Game and Parks Commission, said many hundreds of the large white and gray birds have already landed in the area. All told, about 650,000 cranes will stop off in the region over the next few weeks.
This is one of the most unique things that happens around the world with birds and with wildlife. This is the largest gathering of cranes in the world, starting about now all the way into early April.
The cranes are making a pit stop on the way north to breeding grounds in Canada, Alaska, and even Siberia. And the numbers should peak here in mid-March.
You'll see the cranes out feeding in the fields. Take along a good zoom lens with your camera, a good pair of binoculars. Enjoy the cranes at a distance. Don't try to approach them. They'll fly and go elsewhere.
Several hundred eagles and thousands of ducks and geese have already been spotted along the river as well. The sandhill cranes draw some 70,000 visitors from around the world to the region every year, with an economic impact of about $8 million. Elsewhere in the news, sheriff's deputies in Cass County reported yesterday the arrest of an Atlantic man on drug and other charges Monday. Officials say 41-year-old Scott Matthew Hoppard of Atlantic was taken into custody on charges of possession of a controlled substance, possession of drug paraphernalia, and driving under suspension. The following day, charges of burglary in the third degree and theft in the second degree were added as a result of an investigation into a burglary which took place in rural Cumberland on or about January 28th. Hoppert remained in the Cass County Jail on $12,500 bond. A Cass County man was arrested last week on a felony warrant for theft in the first degree issued by the Des Moines Police Department in association with a July 2010 incident. 48-year-old Jeffrey Dean Long of Marney was taken into custody February 14th. Long was taken to the Cass County Jail, posted a $25,000 bond, and was released. His next court appearance is on Monday. Last Saturday, the Cass County Sheriff's deputies arrested 48-year-old Darlene K. Hannon of Griswold on a charge of failure to have a valid driver's license. Hannon was taken to the Cass County Jail and released later that same day on $325 bond. Another automatic external defibrillator, or AED, will be located in the walls of the Cass County Courthouse here in Atlantic. Emergency Management Director Mike Kennan told the Board of Supervisors during their meeting Wednesday that the device, which is designed to shock a person's heart back into normal rhythm during a heart attack, was received last Friday as a prize from ICAP, the Iowa Communities Assurance Pool. Kennan says he won the device after filling out a survey, which automatically entered the county into a raffle. While the courthouse staff will be trained to use the device, the AED is designed to be administered by anyone to someone suffering from a heart attack because it comes with spoken instructions as soon as the case is open and the diagnostics are quickly run. Here's a sample of what that sounds like.
Begin by exposing patient's bare chest and torso. Remove or cut clothing if needed. When patient's chest and torso are exposed, remove square foil package from lid of AED. Tear open foil package across dotted line and remove pads. Next, separate one of the white pads completely from blue plastic liner. Begin peeling from the tabbed corner.
The instructions also tell the operator where to place the shock pads on the victim and automatically administers the proper voltage to restart the heart. The only question that remained is where the AED should be located. The device is already located in the basement of the courthouse, and Supervisor Chuck Reakin said since the majority of the foot traffic in the courthouse is on the second floor where the auditor and treasurer's offices are, it should be located in one of those offices.
Because it has to be in an office where somebody can watch it and be ready to, somebody can move with it or whatever. Whether they knew how to run it, somebody would be able to know how to operate it.
Right, and without a cabinet, it's going to sit free, so it can't just sit out.
Yeah, if you have it on the third floor, people can mess with it.
The final determination as to its location will be left up to Mike Kennan. And a Clarinda Police Chief Keith Brothers on Wednesday issued a reminder to residents of his community about that city's snow ordinance. Brothers said with significant snowfall appearing likely within the passing hours this morning, residents need to be prepared to move their vehicles and other objects off of city streets that may obstruct the process of snow removal by city crews. The snow ordinance in Clarinda states that when snow has accumulated 2 inches or more, vehicles must be moved off of city streets until the snow stops and the street has been cleared. Any vehicle left parked on the street in violation of the ordinance is subject to being impounded and the registered owner fined $15 plus towing and storage costs. Persons with questions about the ordinance may call the Clarinda Police Department at 712-542-2194. Glenwood Mayor Kimberly Clark also issued a snow proclamation for a snow emergency in the city of Glenwood, which will be in effect beginning at 10 a.m. today. The proclamation, no person shall park, abandon, or leave unattended any vehicle on a public street in Glenwood or city-owned parking lot there other than designated overnight parking areas. The snow emergency parking ban shall continue from its current proclamation through the duration of the snowstorm and the 24-hour period after the snow stops falling or until the snow is plowed and removed from the streets in the Glenwood area. And finally, in Western Iowa news, a woman is trying to prevent the man who killed her sister in Northwest Iowa from being released 5 years early. Sioux City television station KTIV reports Beth Williams has written to Governor Terry Branstad and local officials in an effort to keep Brian Davis in prison. The three-member Iowa Board of Parole recently granted Davis parole under certain conditions. He was convicted in 1995 of second-degree murder and the death of Williams' sister, Julie Bach. And he was scheduled to be released in 2018. But as part of his parole, Davis must live with the family in Olathe, Kansas, and have no contact with the victim's family. Williams says she understands that overpopulation may have led to Davis's early release, but she's concerned he is being defined as a low-risk prisoner. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, Syrian state television says 53 people were killed and more than 200 wounded in a car bomb attack near the headquarters of the ruling Ba'ath Party in central Damascus. The bomb was one of at least three attacks in the heart of the city today. A second blast shook another neighborhood and mortar rounds exploded near the Syrian Army General Command. The Britain-based activist group, the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, said 42 had been killed in the car bombing, most of them civilians. Stocks are opening lower on Wall Street as traders worried about a slowdown in Europe's economy and signs that the Federal Reserve might curtail its bond-buying program. Business in the European Union slowed in February, suggesting that a downturn that began last year will continue into 2013. In the U.S., meanwhile, the Labor Department reported that the number of people applying for unemployment benefits jumped last week. The four-week average rose to the highest in 6 weeks. Police say three people are dead and at least three are wounded after a rolling gun battle and multi-vehicle crash at a busy intersection in the Las Vegas Strip. They say five vehicles were involved in the crash, including a taxi that burst into flames and killed two people at the Flamingo and Las Vegas Boulevards. Police say people in two cars were exchanging gunfire before one of the cars hit the taxi. The driver of that car was killed along with a taxi driver and a taxi passenger. The National Transportation Safety Board says a small jet overran a runway during its landing and crashed into a wooded area of eastern Georgia. Authorities say five people died in the crash last night and two others were taken to a hospital in nearby Augusta. The plane had taken off from Nashville. No names have been released. News time is 9:12.
We're the only bank you'll ever need. First Whitney Bank.
Let's face it, buying a home or even considering whether to refinance your current home can be a complicated and overwhelming experience. Fortunately, we can help. Hi, this is Chip at First Whitney Bank in Atlantic. When you discover your next home or are interested in refinancing your current home, give First Whitney Bank a call. With interest rates at historic lows, it is the perfect time to act. Let our experienced lenders guide you into the mortgage that will best suit your financial needs, as well as explain how refinancing could save you money. Owning your own home is one of the smartest investment decisions you will ever make. So is choosing First Whitney Bank for all your banking needs. Local bankers making local decisions. First Whitney Bank in Atlantic, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
We're the only bank you'll ever need. First Whitney Bank.
And on the funeral announcements, Kristen Judkins, age 34, of Lincoln, Nebraska, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Kristen Judkins will be held on Saturday at 1 o'clock at the Oakland United Methodist Church in Oakland. Recon Veith Funeral Home of Oakland has the arrangements. Betty Jane Shepherd, age 87, of Rural Stewart, died Saturday. Memorial services for Betty Jane Shepherd will be this Saturday at 1:30 at the Stewart Mount Vernon United Methodist Church. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has the arrangements. Dennis Coles, age 82, of Erling, died Monday in Harlan. A massive Christian burial service for Dennis Coles will be Saturday at 2 o'clock at St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Erling. Pauly Jones Funeral Home of Harlan has the arrangements. Leo Armstrong, age 77, of Fontenelle, died Friday at his home. Body has been cremated and no services are planned for Leo Armstrong, but a gathering of remembrance will be held at the United Methodist Church in Fontenelle the Sunday from 1 to 4. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has the arrangements. Craig Cullen, age 53, of Greenfield, died Wednesday in Des Moines. Funeral services for Craig Cullen are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. Barb Schultz, age 73, of Greenfield, died Monday at the Greenfield Manor. Graveside services for Barb Schultz will be held at a later date. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. And Guy Barton, age 80, of Exira, died Monday at the Exira Care Center. Celebration of Life Memorial Services for Guy Barton will be at the Exira Christian Church at a later date. The Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has arrangements. Our news was brought to you by First Whitney Bank and Trust, a home-owned, home-operated bank at 3rd and Chestnut and 7th and Chestnut in Atlantic. The Sky Scan forecast is next.